On today's Part of My Take, we recap a wild, wild weekend in sports, baseball playoffs, college football, NFL Week 5, Khabib versus McGregor. It was insane. We have Pete Prisco talking about NFL. We have John Anik, who is on the call for UFC 229, talking about what went down on Saturday night. And because it's Monday, Football Guy of the Week in the fastest 2 minutes. Before we get to all of that, the Cash App. You already know the Cash App is the number one finance app on the App Store. What you might not know is that you can also put Cash App in your wallet with the Cash Card. It's the only debit card that offers instant rewards and comes packed with premium features not even a credit card can offer, like Boosts. Listen, if you're in college and you don't take advantage of Boosts, what are you doing? Save up to 10% instantly at Whole Foods, Chipotle, Wendy's, Panda Express, or Chick-fil-A, and more of your favorite spots, or even $1 off coffee every time you swipe your Cash Card at coffee shops across the country, including Starbucks. The Cash Card puts you in control of your money with extra in-app safety features that let you pause your card with a touch. Unlike a credit card, there are no fees ever, and a credit check isn't required to get one. Download Cash App now and get your Cash Card for free. Visit the App Store or Google Play Market now. And yes, we are still sending out cash every single episode. So tweet us your cash tag at Part of My Take and let us know what you owe for your degenerate sports bets. A true win-win. So download the Cash App and get your Cash Card now and tweet that cash tag to at Part of My Take. Okay, let's go. Bye!
It's Part of My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Part of My Take, presented by SeatGeek. Today is Monday, October 8th, Week 5. We start in Cleveland, where Baker Mayfield of dreams said if you bake it, they will come. That's C-U-M, folks. The Ravens' defense held firm all afternoon, led by Terrell. I don't want no Suggs. Suggs is a guy who can't stop the Browns QB. And after 1,029 days, they're celebrating on Sunday. Sorry, Coach Jackson. These Browns are for real. Phew! Never meant to make the Ravens cry. I apologize a trillion times. Browns 12, Ravens 9. Next stop, Detroit Rock City, where it hasn't been a beautiful day in Mr. Aaron Rodgers' neighborhood the past few weeks, and it starts with missing Crosby, aka Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Dunn, who had two cats in the yard, making life for the Packers so hard. The Packers tried to come back in the game using the energy boost of Marquez Juan Valdez-Scantling, but he's only had a cup of coffee as a starter, and they ultimately fell short. To quote my personal friend Katy Perry, will Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers fight and break up, or kiss and make up? Lions 31, Packers 23.
What? What? What?
Some spread.
In Pittsburgh, where we go, James Conner McGregor said if you can't beat him, join him, and unveiled a Russian attack of his own, forcing the Falcons to tap in the fourth. Mohamed Sanu, kids on the block, was hanging tough, but the Falcons got nothing yet again from Matt and Julio down by the no-touchdown yard. Mike Tomlin, San Diego, said, where in the world is the Pittsburgh Steelers locker room? And it looks like he finally found it. Good juju back in the Yinzer capital of the world. Steelers 41, Falcons 17.
Tick, 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 tick.
In Philadelphia, the Vikings looked for revenge for the 2018 NFC Championship, and Adam Thiel-like making brotherly love had 116 yards and a score, while on the other side of the ball, Zach Ertz so good, come on baby, make it Ertz so good, had 110 yards and a score of his own. The story of the game, though, was Linville Joseph stumbling, and Linville Joseph bumbling, and Linville Joseph rumbling for a score, and Linville Joseph Rogan needing oxygen for his burnt out lungs. Is Doug Funny Peterson on the hot seat? People are asking this question now. he could go off the... There's a quarterback controversy in New York as Odell Beckham ran the Philly special to perfection and Sterling Shepard tried to attack Eli Manning on the sideline, but in the case of a mistaken identity, took his frustrations out on the nearest trash can. The Giants will have Graham Gano sleep till Brooklyn on their plane ride home after this loss. Where's Ben McAdoo-doo when you need him? Panthers 33, Giants 31.
The New York Football Giants.
The New York Football Giants.
What?
In Western New York, you're supposed to remember the Titans, but Josh Allen gave them an afternoon to forget, torching the Bills for 82 very tall, spectacular yards. Mike the Vrabel guy expected his team to show up between the hours of 1 and 4 p.m., but Marcus Mariota's scrambles was less visually appealing than when you tried to jerk off to the Spice Channel as a 12-year-old. Hey, Teach.
Yeah, Boom?
No one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Bills 13, Titans 12.
In Kansas City, where the Red Hot Chiefs battled with the Jacksonville Jaguars, let's kick it down to field level, where the star of this early NFL season, Patrick Mahomes, joins our program. Patrick, let me be the first to say you're good at football. Now please, talk about the game.
Well, we just wanted to go out there and execute. Coach's players in a great position to win. Just tried to get the playmakers involved. They're really credit to the Jaguars. They fought hard. They're a good football team, and they're just trying to go after and execute and get the ball to their playmakers early and fight hard.
Huh? Thank you, Patrick.
You're welcome. I'm a big fan.
Huh? Chiefs 30, Jaguars 16.
We wrap up in sunny California, where the Chargers and Raiders faced off for a battle of LA franchises past and present. Melvin Gordon Lightfoot continued in the wreck of John Gruden's career as Jordy Half-Nelson played like he had an arm tied behind his back. And Martavis Kobe Bryant didn't flinch even though Derek Carr was unable to throw the ball directly at him. Anthony Lyndon B. Johnson pulled his pants down. And folks, the rumors are true. He has a huge set of nuts. The Philip Rivers ran red with Raider blood on Sunday as the San Diego Superchargers cut up Oakland to the tune of 26-10.
Okay, week 5 in the books, and we got to start with what we just watched, the battle of who can get fired quicker, Bill O'Brien versus Jason Garrett.
Well, actually, the loser of this game should just be sentenced to coach that franchise for the rest of their lives.
Holy shit, was that a bad game? And holy shit, Bill O'Brien, I don't know what's worse, Bill O'Brien just not being able to score from the 1 yard line with Deshaun Watson, mm-hmm. DeAndre Hopkins, and essentially, like, he's supposed to be an offensive guy. JJ Watt,
true.
Good point, Hank.
Yeah.
Or Jason Garrett punting the ball from the other side of the 50 in overtime, 4th and 1, when you used a first-round draft pick on a running back. You can't get 1 yard, you punt it away, and then they basically come down and score and win the game.
Yeah, I think with Bill O'Brien, he looked like he was trying to get Deshaun Watson injured because he's used to having such shitty quarterbacks that it's actually an advantage to him if his starting quarterback goes out.
Well, I was going to say, stay woke. Bill O'Brien is like, if we can get Deshaun Watson injured again, then I can just buy another year of, well, I didn't have Deshaun Watson.
Right, he'll bring Brock Osweiler back or
Brandon Whedon is on the team.
Is he?
Okay. And Joe Webb.
That would have been amazing.
It's essentially my favorite team.
Yeah, so I mean, like, he doesn't know how to coach Deshaun Watson. That's pretty clear. He was like putting him in shotgun and running the ball in 4th and 1 on the goal. I don't know what the hell he's doing. Jason Garrett, I don't have a problem with the 4th and 1 play call.
You don't have a problem with punting in 4th and 1?
Here's why. It would have been so out of character for Jason Garrett to do it. Jason Garrett's MO is to just not get fired by Jerry Jones, and Jerry Jones doesn't like any of this like analytics stuff. Jerry Jones likes conservative football, and he likes it when Jason Garrett just stands on the sideline and shuts up. Matter of fact, now that I think about it, I don't think I've ever seen Jason Garrett speak on the sidelines to anybody. He just like holds up
Claps.
Numbers. He claps a lot, and then he points at people and tells them to run out there. I don't have a problem with it. It would have been, it was a chicken shit move, but that's kind of who Jason Garrett is.
But it's such a terrible, like, and I know we're going to get to it with Pete Prisco in a minute, like the advanced stats and when you should go for it and all that stuff. This is just a gut thing. Like, you're handing the ball back to the other team in overtime when all you have to do is get 1 yard. Mm-hmm. And if you draft a running back in the first round and you feature a running back as like the offense is going to be run first, even though that's so asinine in the NFL, and then you say we're not going to be able to get 1 yard, That's insanity to
me. Yeah, it is. It is nuts. Like, don't get me wrong. I would have called it differently, but that's what I want from my Jason Garrett. I want the most boring, vanilla-ass football possible.
Well, you got it.
And we got it. We got it in spades.
So the other story, we'll whip around the league, but the big story, obviously, is the Cleveland Browns have won a game on a Sunday.
Undefeated in their Color Rush uniforms this year, in the neon Browns.
And we also had Hugh Jackson putting up two fingers after the game, which it was confusing. There were 2 seconds left, so we think that he didn't realize that once you kick a field goal in overtime, after everyone's had a possession, the game is over. Some people thought maybe he wanted to go for two.
I thought he was like, let's go for two. Right now, we're up by 3 points, so you don't want to be up by four. You'd rather be up by five.
Hugh Jackson stands out there. I cannot believe there actually are these people. We're saying he was putting up two fingers to say we have two victories, because what NFL coach doesn't put up how many victories they have after every game?
He's like a person on Twitter that changes their name, their display name, after every game to update the record.
Hey, don't hate on those. Don't hate on those people.
Yeah,
but it's like, I mean, what is this, like Michael Jordan putting up six after his, like, what are you doing? What why would Hugh Jackson be like, we got two wins now?
Well,
we got two wins, guys.
Hugh doesn't know how to handle victories. That's pretty clear. I have noticed that everybody that defends Hugh, because there are Hugh stands, they're mostly just players that have played for him.
Yeah.
That he didn't cut, so they like him.
Yeah, he's really nice. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
He's a really nice guy. Also, did you see the story that Baker Mayfield just basically alpha'd Todd Haley?
Yeah, he said,
I'll handle it.
I got this.
Yeah, I got this.
Back off.
So maybe the Browns will have a good chance of doing something this year.
I think Todd saw that and he's like, hey, you know, if you want to come over later, hang out with the missus, I like that can-do attitude.
Yeah.
Like, she likes the alphas.
We'll do a little Eiffel Tower situation.
Devil's Triangle. We'll play drinking games.
We have a lot of Dunchain candidates this week.
We do.
A lot. I'll just start saying names and you can just stop me when you
want. Okay, yeah. Let's toss the Dunchain out like it's Mardi Gras beads.
Falcons are definitely Dunchain candidate.
Put the Dunchain right around their neck. Yeah.
Raiders, have we already done chained them?
I think we did last week, yeah.
They're done. They are fully done. Let's see, who else? The Cowboys are a good candidate for Dunchain after losing that game.
I was thinking about that because we said it was a loser-leave-town game.
Although the NFC East is kind of like, someone could win the NFC East at 8-8.
Tell you what, if the R-Words beat the Saints tonight, then I'm going to put the Dunchain retroactively on the Cowboys.
Got it. Okay, that's fair.
But I also think that Jason Garrett, he has the alive chain. He has the what should it be, like the dunce cap of freedom for another year.
Yeah. He's both those guys aren't going to get fired.
No.
Those guys are going to coach against each other in 4 years when the Texans and the Cowboys play again.
Yep.
And I'm going to love every second of it. Let's see. Who else did I have? I mean, do you want to put – no, we can't put Dunchain on the Packers, but Mason Crosby.
Oof. I can't put
Mason
it on.
Crosby.
Did you see his spin zone afterwards?
What did he say?
So he went 0 for 5 on kicks, and he said those five misses were an anomaly in life.
I guess that could be, like, here's a spin zone for Mason Crosby. If you're going to miss three, you might as well miss five so that you can say something like there was an, like, something, the Matrix had a hit, like the CD skipped on the Matrix.
Yep.
And Mason Crosby just forgot how to kick a field goal for a day. It's like Chuck Knoblauch throwing it 100 feet into, you know, the first baseline.
Right. He had the yips today.
Right.
It was a yips day. And what I, you know who had the yips more than Mason Crosby? Was Skip Bayless, because Skip Bayless did not tweet anything out about Mason Crosby's magical, mysterious makes that he had against the Cowboys 2 years ago in the playoffs, and this would have been the day to do it.
But we, first of all, like, it's kind of sad because PFT and I, when we got into the office, we essentially finished each other's sentence. We're like, Skip Bayless hasn't tweeted about Mason Crosby. Like, what the hell? We've been looking for it. I was checking
his Twitter account today. I thought there was something wrong with my computer.
But credit to Skip. This is why he's on the top of the mountain. He keeps you guessing. Right when you think you got him in a corner, when you're like, oh, here comes Skip with his Mason Crosby takes, he just pretends it never happened.
Right when you think you've got the man figured out.
I also think Skip only has one TV in his house. I realized that today because he was only tweeting about, like, the Browns game. I think he only has one TV.
Well, yeah, he has one TV in his gym.
Yeah.
And then he can, like, go on the treadmill and then he can watch the TV on the treadmill. But, yeah, he dials in. He's not a red zone guy.
No, red zone is way too confusing.
It's too much for Skip Bayless. Yeah.
So the Eagles, another Dunchain candidate. Mm-hmm. Although the Eagles, if you have your, like, bingo card, who is going to have – a bullshit penalty, ruin a game. The Eagles, come on down, because that Michael Bennett sack of Kirk Cousins, where he just kind of lightly tripped him up, was insane.
That was nuts, yeah. And one other takeaway from that game is Doug Peterson got fat.
I didn't realize
he got so chunky.
I would too if I won a Super Bowl.
I like him chunky. I think he's a better looking coach with that. Like, he's got the thing where now his cheekbones just go down like straight into his shoulders. That's how wide his neck is.
There's a problem though. If you get too fat and you wear a visor, then the visor is like when the visor gets like skinnier on top, and then your fat face is like basically protruding outside the visor.
Yeah,
that's a bad look.
Or it could kind of mushroom, and it constricts like at the middle of the head, so he's got top fat.
Yeah,
he's got top fat hanging over like it's a belt
he's
on
a
the
literal
top.
Literal dickhead.
And then it widens out again.
Yes,
Toad.
Should we? What else we got in the NFL that we want to hit?
I made a note, and I'm not sure where I was going with this, but I just love Chris Collinsworth the way that he says "Al."
Yeah.
Al.
I like that too.
Al.
That's a good note.
Yeah, just a quick, you know, I wanted to touch on that.
I also feel like I haven't seen a Romo game this year, which is kind of weird. Do you guys feel that way? I feel like he's been on 1 o'clock every single day. I see him on the red zone.
I heard him screaming about some
bullshit.
Yeah,
he pops up on the red zone and like basically wakes you up from your nap.
Yeah.
But I don't know what's going on. Yeah. And the Bengals, just a little shout out to the Bengals, my AFC North pick of the year. They're good. They're good.
Their defense is better than we thought they were. I thought that would be like their undoing. But that defense, I guess, woke up. But they played the Dolphins, which
they came back from 17 down. And Joe Mixon might be top three running back. Yeah, I might say that. Wow. I'm gonna say it
when he's healthy.
Yeah, when he's healthy.
The reason we're not seeing Romo is because he does CBS, but because we're in New York, we get stuck watching the shitty Jets.
Oh,
or
it's
Giants
so bad.
Broadcast.
Yeah, it's so bad. Oh, the Giants. We need to talk about Odell Beckham.
Yeah,
signing a monster contract and getting all the way to week 5 before he says, I don't know about Eli.
Yeah, and you know what? I was not surprised that he was doing an interview with Lil Wayne for some reason. The first I saw that pop on my TV, and I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's
support
perfect.
The homies,
yeah, then, support the homies. It's tough to drop the world when you only catch it with one hand.
You know the hot takes that we always get? You know the hot takes we always get when Odell Beckham goes crazy on the sidelines, like, oh, he's got to be a leader and stuff? Well, they kind of came to fruition when Sterling Shepard attacks a trash can and a bench. And you're like, well, actually, he just learned from Odell Beckham what to do when something bad happens.
I think they just need to remove all inanimate objects from the Giants sideline.
It's dangerous.
Including Eli Manning.
Yes, it is dangerous. And then, I guess before we get into everything else, the Bills. Shout out the Bills.
Yeah.
Shout out Josh Allen.
Josh Allen putting the team on his back.
Listen, a win's a win.
You know what? People are saying like he only had 82 yards passing, but guess what? He had another one of those touchdowns where if his hands were even a little bit smaller, he wouldn't have reached the goal line.
Yep, and we'll get to the Blake Bortles talk with Pete Prisco. Don't worry.
They're fine.
We brought in an expert with Pete.
Jaguars are fine.
The Jaguars just win. They just go back. They win, then they lose. And they win, then they lose. Yep. That's what they're going to do for the rest of the season.
They'll be good. The Chiefs are going to be really good. They're fucking wagging.
Although,
the Sunday night football game coming up, Chiefs-Patriots. And then the Chiefs are going down to Mexico City against the Rams. The Chiefs have an awesome schedule.
But the Chiefs, if you're a Chiefs fan listening to this right now, I'm sure you can quote it right off the top of your head, but I think they've gone – I know they went, 5-0 last year? They went 8-0 a couple years ago. I think they went another 5-0, and they've won 0 playoff games from all these hot starts.
Well, that's Andy Reid football,
baby. Andy Reid football. All right, we want to do baseball real quick?
Yeah.
So, David Price, a total head case. Listen, David Price, best thing happened to David Price is Mason Crosby coming out and missing 5 field goals because I guess they're 2 peas in a pod because I've never seen someone, and it's fascinating to me, like genuinely fascinating to watch a guy who is good, who has all the talent in the world, just not be able to show up.
He can't handle the bright lights of the Boston media. He sees Dan Shaughnessy's curly little head walking by and he just starts shitting a brick.
He cannot do it. And then the Brewers advance. The Braves have held on, and then the Indians and the Astros, in the infinite wisdom of Major League Baseball to grow the game, have maybe given them the worst schedule possible. I said to you guys, like, if the Indians and Astros have an entire playoff series before 4 p.m., does it even happen?
No, it doesn't.
Because I don't even, like, they had a game in the middle of the college football slate. They had a game in the middle of Friday afternoon. And then they have a game on Monday at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, how did they decide that? They're just like, nobody's going
to. They're World Series champions and the team that went to the World Series 2 years ago.
But they just know that no one's going to tune into it. Like, if they're going to have a primetime game, they want one of their big teams playing it.
Yeah, I know, but there's not, like, a ton of big teams. I mean, it's basically the Yankees and the Red Sox playing each other.
Well, the Dodgers. Yeah.
But like that's it. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's not baseball isn't exactly like have tons of huge markets everywhere.
You guys know me. I'm a big seam head, right? Watch a lot of baseball. I'm in like seven seam, fantasy leagues. Rays keep scoring.
It's Rays seam head this year.
Rays seam head.
Yeah, because remember, they're up a little.
Yeah, that's right. The Rays seam head. Yes, they absolutely are. I had somebody tweet at me earlier like maybe the laces are a little bit higher. That's why all the kickers keep missing field goals. Mm. So stay a little bit woke on the K-balls.
Okay.
But watching the Yankees play, have they always been like that big?
Yes.
They're just like the girthiest, girthiest team.
Aaron Judge is, he's not a real human being. He is what, like, he's William Wallace when they're like, I thought William Wallace was 10 feet tall and blew fireballs out of his ass. That's what he does when he hits home runs.
He's that guy that they created when Barry Bonds wouldn't sign off on the Major League Baseball Players Agreement for a baseball game, like a video game.
Yes.
What is that guy's name? Somebody get on that for
me. Oh, yeah. And
that's what Aaron Judge is.
Yeah, it's incredible. And then Giancarlo Stanton, we want to talk about mental midgets. I think I watched one at bat of the game on Friday night, and it was him sitting there taking three straight pitches in the bottom of the ninth or the top of the ninth. That guy's got big time mental midgets. But yeah, they have El Gary Sanchez, and then the Luke Voigt guy, they're just massive.
Yes, they're all just big, big dudes. Hank, are you a little bit worried?
Yeah, I'm a little bit
worried.
Yeah,
you should have to be.
You have to be.
How come the Red Sox don't have any big boys?
Bubba just gave a little sly, like not even worried, not even a little bit.
I mean,
can you carry over some of those 108 wins?
Nope.
Oh, so then you probably should be a little worried there, Bubba.
And their bullpen's absolutely awful. If they win tonight, though, I'm back on the not worried.
Okay.
Before we get to football guy of the week, we should probably also mention we're going to talk to John Anik, who is
Joe Young.
Joe Young.
Barry Bonds character.
We should talk about UFC 229 before John Anik is going to be interviewed in a minute here. He was at the fight, but holy shit, was that obscene. Like it was a total chaos and everything you want from a fight night. I know some people were disgusted. I actually was a little disgusted that Khabib spit on Conor McGregor. That was the only time I was like, that was too far.
How could you be disgusted tuning in to a UFC fight night and then being upset another fight breaks out?
Here's the thing, is I made the point, and
I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often.
Fight promo is one thing, and I feel like Khabib just like didn't realize the game.
No,
he said it after. He's like, "Yeah, this is a game of fighting is a thing of honor. No shit talking."
Yeah.
What?
That's
like this is fighting is meant for shit talking. Shit talking sells fights.
Khabib is the purest fighter of them all. He fights when no one's looking. He thinks that fighting is a competition between a man and a bear, and nothing should get in the way of that.
The craziest thing for him to do that though is that he took away from an absolutely dominating performance. Like he owned McGregor. It went four rounds, but it really didn't. If you watched it, there was not one second where you thought, oh, McGregor might win this fight. It was basically just toying with him, like, okay, when does he want to finish this?
Mm-hmm.
So
suffocated him.
Right, and the fact that he did all that to basically take away from it kind of sucks for him. And I know McGregor has kind of done some scummy things. I'm not saying that he hasn't. They can both be scumbags in their own right, but still. It was just insanity. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I loved the drama. I stayed up like trying to watch every single post-fight thing.
It was an honorable move for him to keep fighting.
I'm actually, man
of honor.
I'm a little surprised that this stuff doesn't happen more often because okay, so you go and you watch a baseball game. Usually one of the first things you want to do is go home and like play catch the next day.
Yeah.
Or like you go watch a basketball game, you want to go hit the gym and like take a few jump shots. You go watch a fight. You want to fight. Like, the blood going.
If the situations were reversed, people would have fucking loved it.
Well, here's the thing. I'm being totally honest with you. I actually had no problem with him going into the stands. Like, I actually didn't. The only thing I had a problem with was he choked him out, and he, like, essentially had to be ripped off him because he didn't want to let go of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gave him, like, a push and a spit. And the guy is like, a humped over, half dead. Like, that's when a fight's over, you shouldn't try to keep fighting the guy.
Right.
That's the only. When he went in, the stands is like, this is awesome. This is fucking awesome.
What about the guys that jumped into the octagon, though, and tried to fight McGregor?
Well,
afterwards?
So there was. So we didn't see till much later, but I guess McGregor might have thrown a punch at another Khabib guy. So that is a scumbag move by McGregor.
Who was in the ring
yes,
at the time.
That's a scumbag move by McGregor because you're a trained fighter. You can't just try to throw haymakers at people.
I mean, he was standing on a cage.
But still, the guy in red, though, was number one. He jumped in the ring and tried to punch McGregor from behind.
I'll tell you what, it takes some balls to jump into the ring and try to fight Conor McGregor.
Right?
Yeah, this isn't like that drunk guy falling into the penalty box with Ty Domi and getting his sweater pulled over his head. This is like an intentional, okay, I'm going to go get into a fist fight with Conor McGregor.
Yes.
Kind of respect.
And the best moment of the night wasn't even that. It was the Black Beast taking off his pants because his balls were too hot.
My balls are hot. Joe Rogan being like, I understand. I get it. It happens.
Yep,
sometimes the testicles they start to sweat.
Yeah. Fun night, though. I mean, UFC, I love watching big night. I'm not like a big time, a grapple?
Grapple fuck.
Grapple fuck. I'm not a grapple fuck, not a raised seam head.
Uh-huh.
I don't claim to be a grapple fuck. I actually openly admit that I don't. I actually think that the UFC community has been a little bit nicer to me because I'm like, yo, I don't know what I'm talking about. I just like fights.
Right.
But a night like that is why you buy the big fight.
Yep.
Blood everywhere, knockouts, and people going to the stands and trying to kick the shit out of each other.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's great. Peace and love. Someone actually tweeted at me. They're like, why can't people just get along? It's like, well, it is UFC.
This is a fight.
It is human cockfighting. They're trying to kill each other inside of an octagon. Okay, football guy of the week. Let's do it. Actually, before we get to football guy of the week, let's do a quick ad. What's our first ad that we have?
I think I need to talk to the people about my favorite post-game snack.
Do it.
You guys already know what I'm going to say because I love it so much, and you guys hear me talk about it a lot.
Don't do this.
But we're going to talk about Velveeta and the liquid gold that comes out of that Velveeta package.
I've gotten feedback, and people didn't want this.
I've gotten great feedback across the board. Velveeta shells and cheese will satisfy your post-game craving. Being an SEC fan can be pretty draining. The game day ritual starts early with tailgates that start in the morning. Fans stand, and you make your voice heard from the stands through every single minute of the game. And the weather, well, it's either scorching and humid or it's cold and rainy. And watching at a bar with friends can be just as intense. So after a long day of being an SEC fan, fans want nothing more than their couch and to indulge in nothing but the good stuff. I love Velveeta shells and cheese so, so, so very deeply. It is my favorite post-game snack. It soothes the soul. That's what it does. If you're tired, if you're just you're worn out from a long day of cheering, nothing better than Velveeta shells and cheese to get you back feeling great. The shells and cheese have a unique richness, creaminess, cheesiness, and meltiness. They've got pasta shells that pool the creamy cheese sauce, delivering a cheesier bite. And it's a craveable post-game snack. It's quick and easy to prepare. No additional ingredients necessary. You just boil water, you cook shells, and you stir in the cheese sauce. You don't have to go looking for eggs, looking for milk, any of that stuff. It's just the water, the cheese sauce, and the shells. You don't mess with perfection, and Velveeta has perfected it. So satisfy your post-game craving with the cheesy, melty creaminess of Velveeta shells and cheese. Now, through October 31st, Velveeta shells and cheese is giving consumers an opportunity to win an all-inclusive trip for four to the SEC Championship game and thousands of instant prizes. Check out liquidgoldsec.com for details. It's valid through October 31st. Check it out now.
Okay, let's do football guy of the week. We got some good ones this week. First up, we have Michigan fullback Ben Mason, who, if you remember from our Jim Harbaugh interview, Jim Harbaugh actually... Didn't he
said
foreshadow this?
He said this guy was born to be a fullback.
Right.
He loves hitting
people. He was a linebacker initially, correct?
Yes, he was brought in as a linebacker, and Harbaugh was like, this guy loves hitting people so much, I want him to hit on offense. I want him to be an offensive linebacker.
So he nailed it because Ben Mason had a quote and a big graphic on during the Michigan-Maryland game, and it said, I just like football. I like hitting people.
Yep.
It's as simple as it could get. That is as true football guy as possible.
And he hurdled a guy.
And
then there was one other play where he picked up a blitz, pancaked the blitzer, got on his feet, and then pancaked a defensive lineman. Two pancakes.
It's perfect. That's perfect. If he was on that high school team, he'd just be...
Just syrup. I call this guy all over the place. IHOP because he hurdles over people and then he pancakes them.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah. Although, no, it's IHOP now, remember?
Oh, they changed to burgers.
Oh, that was so funny when they did that.
Yeah. Gosh, and everyone thought it was going to stick
buzz.
Around. Yeah.
That was so much buzz. Next up, we have Christian McCaffrey, who didn't know that they were kicking a game-winning field goal because he was focused on the next play. So the quote was, I had the surface in my hand going over a play with running backs coach Jim Skipper. Didn't even realize, didn't put two and two together. It was a game-winning field goal. Saw it go in, saw everybody jumping around, so I threw it and joined them. Is that actually not a football guy, though, because he was not aware of the game?
No, he's so locked in on what he can do to improve.
Okay.
I think that counts.
All right, that counts. You're right.
I also like the attention to detail. The NFL has gotten better at this the last couple of years. They used to just call the surfaces. They used to call them knockoff iPads.
Yeah.
And then not realizing that Apple paid like $370 million.
No, Microsoft.
That Microsoft.
You just did it.
I just did it to like not call them iPads,
right,
and to call them Surface Pros. So
right,
this guy's a Surface Pros pro.
Yes, absolutely. And then we have Butch Davis. Florida, what is it? What's FIU?
FIU.
What is it? Florida
International.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is that really the name of
Florida
school?
Florida International, yeah. Which doesn't really make
what
a lot
is that?
Of... Yeah,
how does that make sense?
It means that they have a lot of exchange students. I don't know.
It's really Florida International? It's the first time I've...
They didn't have any dorms, so they just asked all their students to put up exchange students in their houses. And
that's
they're like,
wild.
Might as well lean into it. I just made that part up, but...
So Florida Institute University, I think.
Yes, that's it.
It's definitely not that.
The Florida Institute of Universities.
Yes. Florida International. What the hell? Why is it Florida International?
I don't know. They're close to Cuba, I guess.
Ish?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Butch Davis said, when asked about turnover props, he said, yeah, we got a prop. We allow them to keep their scholarships if they get a turnover. That's great. That's fantastic.
We give out turnover homework.
Yes, exactly. So, and then last up, we have Cash Daniel, who actually is nominated this week. Kentucky did lose, but he tried to kill me on Thursday night. So I went over to his house. We were in Lexington, Kentucky, and he said, come over. We'll have family dinner, which was his roommates. And we came over. I was with Caleb, Roan, Tommy, Dave, and we showed up. And we're sitting there watching a game, and all of a sudden one of his roommates came out of the kitchen and said, everyone in the kitchen right now. And they all ran in the kitchen, and I guess there was a huge fire because then we were almost suffocated with smoke. And Cash Daniel kind of rolled with the punches. He's like, sorry, guys. Like, my bad. The food was going to be good. I guess it's a football guy to try to just kill everyone.
Yeah.
No, I don't really know.
Well, I think he probably harbors some deep-seated resentment towards us for,
yes,
for not including him on Football Guy of the Week nominations.
Yes. The best was that they went in there, they use a fire extinguisher on the oven.
Yep.
So all the food, there was about 10 minutes, and then they came out and said, dinner's canceled.
They tried
to salvage
it. So
there was 10 minutes
yeah,
where they were like, maybe they won't notice that we sprayed a fire extinguisher all over this chicken.
They're scraping off the powder and
yes,
the foam. They're like,
yes,
yeah, we can still make this happen, guys.
Yes. All right. So those are our nominees.
I vote Ben Mason.
Yeah,
just
Ben Mason's
right,
pretty... Butch Davis, pretty damn good, too.
That's also good, yeah.
Let's see how little votes Cash Daniel can get.
Yeah, nobody vote for
nobody
Cash.
Nobody vote for Cash.
What about Brecken Hager, the Texas linebacker?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They asked him after the game if Texas was back, and he said, we're going back to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty good answer.
That's only back.
Texas is back.
They are back.
That was an awesome game.
You want to get into who's back of the week?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so I guess we can just say Texas off the bat.
Okay, let's do it.
They are back in a big way. They were almost very, very back because we were going to have to not know the answer to whether or not Texas was back because they gave up two really long touchdowns at the end of the game and made everybody sweat it out. But, yeah, they're absolutely back.
Yes.
They're for real.
They're so back they got a Stoops fired.
Yep.
So Bob Stoops' brother was the defensive coordinator. He got fired.
That was a dead man walking position, though.
Yeah, I'd say
If you stick around after your brother, who's the head coach, leaves,
mm-hmm,
you know that you're going to be the first head to roll.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah, Texas, that was a hell of a performance. I doubted them for a while. I mean, when you lose to Maryland back-to-back years, it's fair to doubt them.
Yeah, Maryland's
but they put together some nice wins.
Yeah, Maryland's the kryptonite to Texas football.
Yeah.
It is I love how they have Dicker the kicker.
Yeah, Dicker the kicker.
That guy was not going to miss.
And Gus Johnson is just getting bored with the fact that he's the best big game announcer, like dramatic announcer, and he's trying out new stuff. He, after Dicker the kicker hit the field goal, he just yelled earthquake. He just goes, earthquake! Texas is back!
Well,
it's
I mean,
like, what? How does that have anything to do with... How does an earthquake have to do with the kick?
There's a lot of fracking going on
I guess
up in
so.
North Texas.
Yeah,
so.
There we go. I mean, it was... But I think he's just... I think Gus Johnson is at that point where he's like, I can just yell words emphatically, and people will say I'm the best.
Yeah. I think that temporarily, I'm lifting the restraining order on saying the S word. That was a shootout. That was
yes,
Red
it was.
River Shootout.
That's,
so
you can't...
We can describe this
game. You can call
it
whatever you want, but it's still the Red River Shootout.
Mm-hmm. So after the game, when they present the trophy, it's got like the golden cowboy hat on
yeah,
top of the trophy stand. Is that thing supposed to come off?
Yes.
Or did they break it?
No, it's supposed to. You're okay, supposed to be able to wear it.
Yeah.
Remember
Charlie Strong. That's what I thought.
The long finger.
That's
one moment.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Longest
I was secretly
finger ever.
I was secretly hoping that they broke the trophy.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be great. There's too many trophies, by the way. And that's not like a millennial thing, but but Wisconsin and Nebraska played for a trophy that looked like a pastry.
I'm pretty sure every Wisconsin game, somebody gets a trophy, right?
Yeah, there's like a slab of bacon.
Yeah.
Yeah, a bacon or a pot of beans.
Mm-hmm.
We usually win something like that. Do you have any other who's back?
Yeah, I've got a couple who's back.
Okay, do it.
Fred Durst is back.
Do tell.
Did you see he was performing over the weekend? And
No, I can't say I did, yeah, BFT.
And Shaggy 2 Dope. One of the two lead singers from Insane Cloud Posse rushed up on the stage and tried to drop kick him off the stage. And Durst nearly avoided the kick by like half a step. And then he called Shaggy 2 Dope a pussy.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Were there more than 250 people there?
I only saw cameras that were facing the stage. And I saw two different views of it. I was trying to break down the angles. But it just dawned on me, those might have been the only two people there.
Yes, it might have
been. They were both recording.
It actually was just a fight. It was just an MMA fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm actually surprised that anybody went there was recording anything, because like, why would you want anybody to know that you were
there?
A Fred Durst solo performance.
No, there's definitely an underground Florida street racing community where showing like a video of you at a Fred Durst concert still plays.
You get cred?
Yeah, you still probably can hook up with some chicks if you're like, yo, did you see what I did this weekend?
Yeah.
Fred Durst. Remember him? Limp Bizkit, not to brag.
You want
to
hop into
one of four people that saw this concert.
Yeah, babe. Get in my Honda Civic Si with the racing seats.
Yeah.
It's pretty badass.
Yeah, and the sweet spoiler on the back. Yeah,
we're going to Sonic, babe.
We're doing it. Some racing stripes.
Yeah.
Okay. Next. That was a who's back. I can't say I saw coming.
Yeah. And then Boomer's back.
Okay, yeah.
Boomer was on the call for the Major League Baseball radio for the Braves Dodgers game.
Yes, he's been doing. Yeah.
Yeah, and he did
put
the
it in.
Back.
Let's put it in. Put it in.
3-1 pitch. Hit all the way to left field. Back it goes. Back. Good! A grand slam! He can't legally buy a drink, but he can hit a grand slam in the postseason.
So sexy.
So awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I listened to him a couple days ago. He's been doing a bunch of baseball games, and it's perfect.
I like to think that nobody knows when Boomer's going to be on the call. Just like if he shows up to a game, it's an unwritten rule of broadcasting,
yeah,
that if you get tapped on your shoulder and it's Boomer behind you, and he's like, take a hike, kid. You have to just let him have the call.
Right. It's like a mafia guy having a booth at a restaurant.
Yeah.
He might not come to dinner for a month, but if he shows up, you're getting out of that booth.
Exactly, yep.
That's Boomer. All right, Hank, you go.
Who's back of the week is Banksy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good call.
I don't know if you guys saw this, but he did a painting back in the day, and he built in a like shredder into the painting in case the painting ever got sold for auction.
Mm-hmm.
This weekend, it got sold for like $1.3 million, and right after the person bought it, it just started shredding.
Yep.
And all the people that were there were like horrified.
He put in a self-destruct thing, huh?
Yes.
But I heard this might have been like an all-time backfire because it was worth more after it got shredded.
Absolutely going to be worth more.
Yeah.
It's hilarious it's going to be worth more. Someone will just reframe it and be like, look at this is the one that Banksy shredded.
Mm-hmm.
I love Banksy.
But Banksy's back.
He's so deep.
Yeah, he's so...
You ever see the one where he's
What's
got like...
What's his name?
Mickey Mouse.
People know his name, right? Oh, actually, we can't. Banksy. I don't think we can say it.
Yeah, we can't
legally.
Say it. He'll kill us.
But I do know his name.
Yeah, you ever see the painting he did where it's
his
like
name,
Mickey
his name
Mouse
Nick Cage.
wearing gas masks?
Yes.
And then they're all like, they're praying to a big statue, but the statue's just a dollar sign?
Yeah.
So deep.
Yep.
That's capitalism,
he makes
you
dude.
Think, man.
That's fucking capitalism. Yeah. All right, next.
Who's back was Foliage. I thought we were only doing one who's back on Monday.
I only have one, yeah.
Foliage is back.
Foliage
huh?
is back in a big way.
I don't think it is yet.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess because we live in this shithole of a city, we don't know.
There are no trees.
Yeah, oh, Foliage is back.
Someone tell me what... Someone tweet me a picture of Foliage so I know that Foliage is back.
Somebody tell me what a lake and a tree looks like and a plant.
I haven't
seen a plant in a while.
Not to go on a little side bar here, but I had an idea today that they should have pictures that you can smell. Like, so you can send pictures, you can smell, because I parked my car today.
Called Scratch and Sniff.
No, but it's like, you can, no, digital.
So on your phone.
Twitter, I tweet a picture and people can just smell it.
Yeah.
Because I parked my car today and it was, I think it was in a pile of oil, diarrhea, puke, and there was some kind of shredded, like, there was some kind of glass that maybe was, it was actually probably a glass of diarrhea that got broken.
Somebody dropped it.
And I wanted to, and there was a trash bag, and I wanted to take a picture and just be like, gotta love this city.
Mm-hmm. Actually, here's a weird thing with the new iPhone. If you go to scratchandsniff.com, smell your phone. It's,
yeah.
It's actually like a scratch and sniff.
Yeah. And then go to draftjoshallen.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can I just wonder how many people have tried to smell their iPhone right now.
It's a swag phone.
Maybe someone. Maybe one person.
Yeah.
There's one. Gotcha. High. There's one high guy.
Hey, Tim, dude, I gotcha.
You're too high for a Monday morning. I know it's Columbus Day, but you're too high to be smelling your phone. All right. My who's back is the clutch gene.
Yeah.
The clutch gene is big time back because, or the absence of the clutch gene, because David Price, big time question. How can he be so bad? 0-10 in the postseason. Well, turns out, I was reading an article, there's actually now people studying the clutch gene, and it is very much a real thing.
Yes.
Yeah. So you can not only have the clutch gene, but you can strengthen the clutch gene.
I'll read it to you.
Well, a decade ago, it was talking about Reggie Jackson, how he had the clutch gene, and he might have been regarded as pure bluster. Researchers who study the brains of athletes believe more and more that a so-called clutch gene exists. They've seen enough incremental improvement through brain training that they regard it as a muscle capable of being built and likewise atrophying, and that limiting the chasm between mental and physical empowers athletes to succeed. That's awesome.
So it's the clutch muscle.
We need to get the clutch. It's your brain. We need to do some Kegels for our clutch gene.
Yeah. Well, how do you do that? I want
to
train.
I think we just need to play clutch. a lot of Madden, fourth quarter Madden.
Okay, yeah, just simulate into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, right.
And just
get it going. Right.
Yeah, or play that Tiger Woods golf game where the controller beats, like you can feel the heartbeat.
Yes.
And just only do those shots.
Yes. So okay. We got to work on our clutch gene.
Yeah. That's great news. I'm really glad that somebody's finally studying this besides me.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we needed someone who had maybe an M, maybe probably doesn't have an MD, probably a PhD.
Yeah.
To stick their name on this.
Yeah. It reminds me of, like, there was an article in ESPN the magazine way back in the day, like 2000, and it said that Tim Duncan would never win an NBA title. And Jason Kidd would win multiple ones because of the structure of their face.
Ooh.
And you could study somebody's face to determine.
Was this a Nazi book you were reading?
It was ESPN the magazine.
Got it.
So you tell me.
Okay.
So, maybe. Ooh. Who's to say? But yeah, it was like the study of people, like the makeup of your facial structure, your cheekbones, your nose, how it's all aligned, will determine whether or not you're going to be an effective leader.
Ah, oh, man, that's some wild stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, if you write enough words about it, I won't read it, but I'll believe it.
Yes. I'm thinking about getting back into it. It's phrenology
skim
for your
over
face.
It. Yeah. I will skim over and be like, okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, the clutch gene, this was like a thing that nerds did to us where they tried to put everything on a spreadsheet and mm-hmm. take away the clutch gene. Anyone who's watched any sports for any amount of their life knows the clutch gene exists.
You know what nerds didn't do growing up? They didn't stand in their backyard saying 3-2-1 as they were attempting that shot on their basketball hoop. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've got a lifetime of training.
I was practicing.
Of practicing without any friends.
No, what you do is you do the down 1-2 free throws. Because then you're gonna at least hit one.
Yeah.
And then you go, and then you steal the ball. Yeah. Then you steal the ball and shoot it. So it's a good way to do it. All right. Let's get to our interviews. We want to do Pete Prisco first. Then we have John Anik, who was at UFC 229. He was on the call with Joe Rogan, talking about what the hell happened, and how crazy what the fallout's gonna be from it. So before we get to Pete, though, I want to talk to you guys quickly about StockX. Ever wonder how to get the hottest new sneakers, the ones that barely hit shelves? The answer is StockX, a revolutionary new marketplace for buying and selling 100% authentic sneakers, streetwear, watches, and handbags. I actually went on StockX. You've been doing StockX, right? StockX is awesome because you can find any kind of sneakers you want, and you can find it there. You use the same principles as the stock market to make buying and selling as safe and easy as possible. Real-time market data for intelligent buying and selling give you access to tons of historical price data. See exactly how much an item has sold for in the past and how much it's selling for now. Best of all, StockX has removed all the risk from buying and selling online. Total anonymity. Between buyer and seller, StockX is in the middle, so you never have to deal with random buyer or seller again. So you can trust it. It's not like you're going and being like, I hope this guy sends me the shoes. StockX has you covered. StockX has experts who verify every item, make sure everything you buy is 100% authentic. You never get burned by fakes again. I'm telling you, if you are a guy who likes sneakers, if you are a guy who wants to get in the sneakers, if you ever see cool sneakers, you're like, damn, I wish I had those sneakers. I wish I had this handbag. I wish I had these awesome luxury brands. Well, you can find them all at StockX, and it's a great place. You can get them for cheap. You just got to watch them. You got to play the stock market. And so right now, go to StockX.com/PMT. StockX, now you know. Ooh, I like that. Now you know. That's a great tag mm-hmm. right there. StockX.com/PMT. Check it out right now. Okay, here he is, Pete Prisco. Okay, we welcome on our good friend and fiery Italian, Pete Prisco. You can find him every single day on his Twitter at Prisco CBS. He's on CBSSports.com. He's got the Pick Six podcast. Pete
and CBS Sports HQ, the 24-hour network.
There you go. I was going to get there. All right, Pete, we want to talk about Week 5. And the just so everyone knows, we were planning on having you on like 4 days ago. It just so happened that this is now the Blake Bortles isn't bad, everyone shut up meeting. So meeting is now in order. Mm-hmm. Explain to us why Blake Bortles is not bad and everyone just shut up already.
But he did throw for 400 yards today.
There you go, sold.
There yeah. we go, Pete. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, I mean, look, the screen pass was a terrible play. Look, and there's a lot of quarterbacks that have made that play. It was a bad play. Guy picked it off and took it back. The one that doinked off the helmet, I can't figure that one out. I can't defend him on that one at all.
He was just raining. He was trying to get his offensive lineman involved.
It was raining.
Nah, no excuse for either one. Hey, look, he didn't play great football today. He wasn't terrible, though. But every time he makes a mistake, it's magnified by 100 because of the Twitter posse that jumps in on him. Nobody's sitting here saying he's a great quarterback, but he's better than people give him credit for. And, you know, he didn't get a lot of help from the offensive line today.
I think a lot of it has to do with his last name, Bortles. Bortles is just like a fun name to highlight when somebody screws up. And I'm sick of it, frankly. Like, just find a new slant.
Even for it. I can't figure out why anybody doesn't. I mean, they kill the kid.
Yes,
and then same quarterbacks make the same mistake. Other quarterbacks make mm-hmm. the same mistake.
Worse.
Nobody killed.
Worse mistake.
That's what I tweeted something because Ryan Tannehill threw one off of his lineman that was taken back for a pick six, and I was like, oh my god, who would ever do this? What an idiot! Mm-hmm. Like this, it does happen in the NFL. Now we're not going to talk all Blake, but it's good that you led with the 400 yards because I agree there. Good game by Blake. Rain. Listen, yes. He also was playing against the greatest quarterback of all time. Do you believe in the Patrick Mahomes hype? Do you think it's ever going to come back down to earth, or is he just that special?
Well, it came back down to earth a little bit today. He threw two picks. If you would have said that before the game, that the Jacksonville Jaguars held Patrick Mahomes without a touchdown and he threw his first two interceptions, you would have said they won the game, right?
Yep.
I mean, so it wasn't a great day for him, and I do think there's going to be a little correction on him. I love the kid. I think he's a star. I love the way he throws it around. He's got that gunslinger mentality.
He's got a wobbly neck.
You know, people rushed him into the Hall of Fame. I mean, my God, it was four games, and they're rushing him into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
you got to slow your roll on these guys.
See, I figured that you would be the guy that would be the only person out there dying on that hill of, like, let's pump the brakes on Pat Mahomes. But it seems like you're just as starstruck as everybody else. Like, is that fair?
No, I'm starstruck because I love the way the kid plays the game. Not the one who's racing him up to the Hall of Fame. That's not me. I think you do got to pump the brakes. Until you get, you know, a 10-game, 12-game, you know, look at these guys, it's so hard to really get a true analysis on them. And I think it's the same with Trubisky now this year. Everybody's like, oh, he threw those touchdown passes. Trubisky's now Jared Goff. Is he? I mean, you got to wait on these guys. You got to give it a little time.
So, I like how you're holding Jared Goff up now as the standard of like elite quarterback play in the NFL. We've been on that for several years. Welcome aboard. There was one particular player that I thought stood out a little bit this weekend, and I wanted to give you credit because you were 2 years ahead of the curve on him, Michael Johnson on the Bengals. If you recall, I think Pete had him as like his number one player in the entire NFL 2 years ago. Did I get that right? Yes, I think you did.
Wrong. No, you're rushing things. By the way, you mentioned Jared Goff. Last time I did you guys' podcast, I was at the Rams camp, and he came up to me and he goes, "Did you just do their podcast?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said he was going to give it a listen because he knows how entertaining I am.
No,
yeah,
that's why. Like, "Oh, you're the jorts guy that everyone's kind of scared of because you're just a short, fiery Italian that yells at old women. That's you? Okay, cool."
I never yell at old women. Yeah. I yell at men.
All right, so Pete, let's do this because we are through 5 weeks, and there's some teams at the top of the leader of their standings that I think we could all agree like they have had a history of kind of falling apart. You have the Bengals, top of the AFC North. You have the Chiefs, the top of the AFC West, and let's throw in the Redskins, the top of the NFC East. Which of those teams do you think is going to fall back down to earth, or which ones are 100% for real?
The Chiefs are for real, and they will stay there. The rest of that division, I mean, the Chargers are okay, but the rest of that division is not very good. Denver gave up 3,000 yards rushing today. They're not good. So the Chiefs will stay there. The Redskins, I don't know about, and we'll know a little bit more about them tomorrow. I like what I've seen so far, but now they go to New Orleans coming off the bye. If they get ambushed there, then here's the question for that one. Who does win the NFC East?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Anybody any good in that division?
Yeah.
No, I think whoever wins this Monday night game is going to make the playoffs. I think the Saints in the NFC South, I think they'll be in a really good position if they win. But I think, I don't know, I think the Saints are, I trust them more than I trust the R-Words right now.
Yeah, you're probably right. Winner of the game probably does make the playoffs. But look at that division now. The Falcons can't stop anybody. They're pretty much done. The Bucs, who knows when they get Winston back. And Carolina had to eke out a game coming off the bye at home against the Giants team that was terrible against the Saints last week. So a lot of the teams, you know, we thought were good aren't very good. And, you know, the Bengals are one of those teams that nobody thought was going to be very good as playing pretty good football. So I think the Bengals will make the playoffs, but of course you know what they'll do once they get in there.
Yep. Lose,
week one against the Texans. The first game, the wild card game against the Texans, and it'll be like a 20-13 game that nobody's going to pay attention to.
You got the Texans in already.
Well, I'm just saying that Saturday game is you know, that's reserved on a calendar for the Texans and the Bengals to get together and play a game at like 2:30.
Didn't the Texans actually beat the Bengals in that Saturday game once?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
No, they did not, because Marvin Lewis has never won a playoff game. So they definitely.
The Texans beat them.
Yes,
I think J.J. Watt had like a pick six or something stupid like that.
Well, if they played the Bengals, then they won because the Bengals stink.
Are the Bengals for real though? Like, what is the weakness?
They're my team.
What is the weakness in the Bengals right now?
Third down defense. They went into today last in the league on third down defense, but now they got Perfect back, which will help that. But you know, can they stop anybody consistently on third down? That to me is their biggest weakness.
What is the deal with the Falcons? Because I famously was like, oh, yeah, 2017, I loved them. I bet on them. I lost a lot of money on them. I'm doing the same thing this year, thinking they will turn into the Super Bowl Falcons. Do you think that that ship has fully sailed? And do you think, I'm not going to talk about another man's job, but Dan Quinn has to be on the hot seat if the Falcons win, like, four games this year?
No, he gets a free pass because of the defensive injuries. I mean, they lost the middle of their defense. Today they play without Grady Jarrett. Deion Jones is not there, and then the two starting safeties are both gone.
Yeah.
I mean, you take away the middle of the defense, you're asking for problems, and then that puts even more pressure on the offense to go out and try and make plays, and he got killed today. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw the game. The guy got brutalized. He got sacked six times, and it was just awful. So, no, I don't – Dan Quinn's not in trouble at all.
I disagree. Okay. That defense only put up 17 points against the Steelers.
No,
so
but that's fair. That's a fair – I appreciate you, Pete, because I am – obviously, I like to do hot takes, and I would just be like, yeah, he's on the hot seat because – just because. But with that many defensive injuries, it kind of makes sense that they are absolutely – I mean, they lost their best defensive player in the first game. It makes sense that they're getting absolutely gashed and they're 1-4, and the season's over for them.
It is over. They're done.
Dunchain. Pete Prisco put the Dunchain on the
like
Dirty
that.
Birds.
I like that.
Okay, well,
they're done.
Another team that's been kind of knocked up with some injuries is the Packers. Is this Mike McCarthy on the hot seat for real this time?
If they don't turn it around at the end of the year, he'd be on the hot seat. Not right now in the middle of the season. But, I mean, look, when you have your quarterback basically calling you out during the week for the way you play, and I think that's exactly what he was doing, you're going to be on the hot seat. Look at that team, though. They don't run any of the window dressing that the other teams run in on offense. And that's why I think Aaron Rodgers gets frustrated. He sees the Rams and all their pre-snap movement and how they get guys open. And his guys line up. They put one over there to the left and two to the right, and they say, go win. No picks, no rubs, no bunches, nothing. It's an ISO route offense from, you know, the 1980s, the old West Coast offense. So I think that he gets frustrated by that, and I think that's why he lashed out this week.
Mm-hmm. Well, another guy that lashed out, Odell Beckham, trouble in paradise up in New York. Like, what do you think about a guy that gets a big contract and then, like, immediately proceeds to bash his team in the media?
Yeah, they're all like, I mean, everybody's like that. It's all about me, you know. What's good for me is good for me. I live by that. I'm a big believer in that. And every player, if you ask them truthfully to say what's more important, me or the team, they would say me, because that's how they make their money. So I get it. I understand he's frustrated, and he should be getting, you know, the ball thrown in his direction a lot more. I get it. I understand it. I have no problem with it.
Okay.
Well, he had Lil Wayne next to him too, so it was like, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. What was that all about? I didn't watch the interview. We were on, and I saw it on there. What was that all about? Why was he on there?
Because they're buddies. They just wanted to like team up and do an interview real quick for some reason.
Yeah, but do you bring buddies on when you go do your interviews? I guess you do. You do it together.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, we sit on each other's lap.
Yeah, I bring Ted Nugent to all my interviews.
Pete, were you one of the Patriots are in trouble, real trouble after the Lions? You promise?
Tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
No, I promise. Tell the truth. As long as Belichick and Brady are still around, they're going to be fine.
Okay.
And then you got the car wash. Josh Gordon went through the car wash. And New England as a way of, no matter who they bring in there, aside from Albert Haynesworth, who was beyond help, of somehow turning their life and careers around and making them better players.
Yeah. Hmm. I mean, it's hard to argue with that. So I actually am looking at the standings right now, and basically – half of these divisions are kind of decided when we're looking at it.
Well, half the divisions, so New England's going to win that division, right?
Yep.
Pretty much done deal.
Yep.
Okay, who's going to win the AFC South? Is Jacksonville going to win?
That one's up for grabs. You get the Chiefs in the West, and then you could make the argument the AFC North's up for grab because you don't know the Browns. Let's talk about the Browns for a second. Do you think the Browns could actually make the playoffs? Because they have been in every single one of their games. Obviously, their record 2-2, 2-2-1, but they have had a chance to win in the fourth quarter in every single one of their games.
They have, and they play really good defense, by the way. I mean, that defense, people aren't giving that defense enough credit. And Greg Williams on that side of the ball, they're playing great defense. But I don't think they're a playoff team this year. I think they'll, you know, push for 8-8 season, and then next year they'll be a playoff team. How about that early prediction? I think the Browns will be a playoff team next year.
Isn't
but not this year.
Wait, but isn't that almost like a death sentence for the Browns? And hear me out. The Browns either want to go finish like 5 wins or get to the playoffs this year, because 8-8 to me means Hugh Jackson sticks around. They don't get to the playoffs, Hugh Jackson sticks around. And I'm sorry, I don't think Hugh Jackson is the guy. I think a lot of this fourth quarter stuff we're talking about, the fact they're in games and can't close, falls on Hugh Jackson. So treading water a little bit here, wouldn't that be the worst case scenario where now Hugh Jackson is linked with Baker Mayfield going forward?
If you think Hugh Jackson's not the guy, that is. And,
yeah.
I'm not saying he is or isn't, but
say it.
But would you rather be 8-8 than 6-10?
Well, that's a good question.
No, but that's kind of a.
They can't
depends.
Be. They can't be 8-8 though.
They can't be 8-8, but that's very true.
Well, yeah. You know what I mean. 7-8-1 or 8-7-1 or whatever, and don't make the playoffs. Wouldn't you rather be that than?
No, because I think it's all Baker. It's all the Browns are not judged this season. It's kind of like with Mitch Trubisky in Chicago, where if you have a young quarterback, it's less about wins and losses and more about is this going to be the guy and can he prove that he's mm-hmm. going to be the guy and can he have the right people around him so that he is the guy. So going 8-8 means that Baker probably is the guy, but Hugh Jackson is still the coach.
Yeah, but I mean, still. Look, they're going to win games this year. Look at their schedule coming up. They got talk about a chance for the offense to get right. They play some of the worst defenses in the league coming up. So I do think that they have a chance to get to 7 or 8 wins. They're not going to be a playoff team.
Okay.
What about on the other side of the ball, the Ravens? You got them in the playoffs?
Yeah, I did until today. I mean, that was awful. Now they got to play a third straight road game next week at Tennessee. That's brutal.
Yeah, are they ever going to let Lamar Jackson throw the ball? Because they just put him in the Wildcats.
Why did they even put him in the game?
Yeah,
that was ridiculous. Today they put him in the game. They get driving down the field. They got a little bit of a rhythm, and they put him in the game, and he throws an incomplete pass, and they take him right out of the rhythm. That's stupid.
Yeah, it's very weird how they're choosing to use him. I don't know why they like. If you're going to put your backup quarterback on the field, at least like give the threat that he's going to pass the ball. They ran one play where he passed it today. I'll give them credit for that. But every other time he's had the ball, like it would be more likely that Ronnie Brown was going to throw the ball out of the Wildcat than Lamar Jackson, and he's got a howitzer on his arm.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me what they do, how they take their team out of a rhythm. I wouldn't be happy if I was Joe Flacco getting taken out in those situations.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's had more than enough chances to be the guy, and so now they're going to try to dance with someone else.
He's played pretty good football.
He has. He has, because he has the pressure of Lamar Jackson. What other...
No, you know what he has? He has Lamar Jackson there who's actually lit a fire on him a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And RG3.
Yeah, you guys are right.
Let's not forget about Robert Griffin.
What other big storylines are you working on that you see, like, a trend out of? Because 5 weeks, we are now at a point where we have kind of a sample size of, like, okay, we know what these teams are. We know that the Falcons are done. We know that the Steelers are going to be up and down, but they'll still probably be there in December, that kind of stuff.
And is anybody? Here's the question you need to ask: is anybody really any good right now?
Ooh, that's a very good
question.
Great question.
Yes. Rams,
yeah, Rams and the Chiefs.
Yeah, Rams were within a whisker of losing to Seattle at home.
Yeah, it's tough. People forget it's very loud up there, and the delicate ears of the LA teams, they're not used to that.
You can't tell me don't think the Rams are good. I mean, the Rams are good.
No, I love watching the Rams on offense. I think the Rams have defensive issues. That's 2 weeks in a row they've been just destroyed on that side of the football.
Yeah, a little banged up. So, all right,
and here's where their issues are. Ready? They don't have outside edge rushers. Everybody keeps saying, "Well, we got Sue and you got Donald." But in that defense, the way that defense is built, Wade Phillips needs to have outside edge rushers. They don't have them. That's going to be a problem.
Okay, I'll write that down in my tickler file for later. Who, besides the Rams, is good in the NFC? Who's going to challenge them?
The Bears. Who? I don't know. You tell me. There's nobody.
The Chicago Bears.
Watch out. They're going to lose to Miami.
Got you a little interested. Got you a little interested there.
The Bears are clearly the class of the NFC besides the Rams. We've established that. They're making the championship game.
Got you a little interested there, Petey.
Don't you think Rodgers will get his team right, though? Eventually?
Yes, of course he will, because he always does. That's why I fucking hate Aaron Rodgers, because this is what he does. Every single year, he does this little song and dance, like, oh, I'm hurt. Oh, I don't like Mike McCarthy. Oh, this team stinks. Oh, I want to go somewhere else. And then they end up 10-6 or 11-5, and they win a few playoff games.
Here's one for you guys. Ready? We had this debate today in our green room. Is it better to have a cheap quarterback and build your team around them rather than pay the franchise quarterback?
Well, yes.
In other words, here's what somebody was trying to say, that if you have your guy, you draft him, like, for example, Jared Goff, but in year four, are you better off letting him walk than paying him and continue to build your team and get another one?
That's a good question.
I don't buy that one at all.
No, if you have your guy, you have to keep him. But obviously there is the element of you got to try to – like the Rams are going win now. The Bears did something similar with they could afford giving Khalil Mack a ton of money because they have Mitch on a cheap contract. So the Russell Wilson Seahawks.
But when you get to the fourth year of those guys and you got to give them a new deal, do you give them a new deal and hinder the fact that you can build guys around them? Or do you, for example, the Raiders gave Derek Carr a big contract and they've been hurt by that because he's not good enough.
Right.
Yeah. Joe Flacco.
Okay, the Cowboys. Do the Cowboys give Dak Prescott a big time?
No, he's a bum.
No, he
he's a bum.
Yeah,
throw
what's wrong with
trash.
Dak Prescott? Give us a quick take on Dak Prescott.
Here's what's wrong with Dak Prescott. The offensive line hasn't played as well. No Frederick. But the other guys haven't played up to expectations other than Zach Martin. They have nobody who can stretch a defense. Everybody sits and squats on everything. He can't drive the ball down the field. And so you add that all up, and it's easy to defend him.
Yeah, and he's thrown to guys that are just like, I don't know, they got Cole Beasley, and I don't know who else they have.
And they were rude to, he was rude to us when we had him on the show.
He was very rude. His favorite color is gray.
Yeah.
You can't win with a quarterback like that. I want a guy who appreciates color rush.
His favorite color is not gray.
Yep.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yes, it is.
Pete.
Oh, that can't be.
Yeah, you can't win a Super Bowl with that.
It's terrible.
You can't
you gotta have something. You got to have a little, I mean, my favorite color is purple.
That's
what?
Cool.
Wow. Oh, the king's color.
Yeah, color of
nice.
Royalty.
Right. Yeah, I like that.
I like that. The color of the nurple, too.
You seem like a guy who has gout.
Good point.
Gout?
Yeah, do you have gout?
You got to drink a lot to have gout.
Yeah, but or eat a lot of red meat.
No, I don't eat a lot of red meat either.
You got foot pain?
You don't drink?
No, but I know people who have gout. They say it's one of the most painful things you've ever had in your life.
Yeah, besides back
pain. It's that back pain and breaking your foot, too.
Yeah.
Those are the three. You want to
steer clear of those. Who broke your foot?
I broke my foot a while
barely.
Ago.
Hey, Pete, what's your favorite Sopranos episode?
Favorite Sopranos? That's a good question.
Yeah, I know it is. Fucking right.
I don't know if I like the last one. Did you guys?
Well, oh, the end?
Why don't you
what happened at
what
the
happened?
End?
Yeah.
When they went into the diner or whatever, remember, and they played the dirty song?
Yeah, and then what happened, though? I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Nobody knows what happened. It was a big mystery. Hey, real quick, back to the Cowboys. Is Dez Bryant going to get signed anywhere this year?
No.
So he's done.
You?
Is he done?
What the Cowboys need? Another guy who can't run. He can't run.
Okay.
They have enough of those guys who can't run.
But he wasn't bad last year. He wasn't good, but he was still like an average wide receiver.
We're not talking about just with the Cowboys. Is he going to get signed anywhere?
No, I don't think so.
So he's done. I really don't. So his career is over.
I would think so. He'd been signed already if somebody's going to sign him.
Yeah. Mm. What's all right, I have my SeatGeek question. It's my last question. Put promo code TAKE. You get $10 off SeatGeek purchase. Promo code TAKE. Pete, give us your, like, give us a story that no one's really talking about. Give us the sources. Give us something, you know, little.
What do you want?
Something, like that something that fell off the back of the truck, if you know what I mean.
Like involving the league right now?
Yeah, the league or a player on? Or a team. Like, oh, this guy might be on a hot seat. Or check out this. Look for this story coming down everyone's pipeline.
Here's the story to look for. It started today. All the talk about the offense in the league. Look what happened today.
Mm-hmm.
You know what happens?
Pendulum swing.
Everybody catches up with the gimmicks.
The gadget plays. The Philly specials.
The gadget plays. All the little shovel passes and spreading them out.
Candy-ass stuff, yeah.
Everything. Offense is going to rule. Never again will the defense be able to stop them. Look at today. They started to slow them down today.
So you think
the Falcons
that,
and,
yeah,
so and Steelers didn't score a ton of points.
Yeah, they did. They scored 58 Raiders points. They scored 58 points.
Yeah, but the Chargers and Raiders didn't score a ton of points.
That's true. No, they didn't. No, you're right. So you think that this is just a symptom of, you know, early NFL, early season, everyone kind of goes crazy for these points. But then again, you can't say that the penalties haven't had something to do with more points being scored. Every time some team gets in a third and long and there's a pass rush, they get a roughing the passer and they get a first down.
Well, it's not just that. It's the rules in the secondary as well. I mean, the game is – if you don't throw the ball 50 times a game, you're cheating your team. I mean, because the rules are catered to that. Mm-hmm. They make no sense. It makes no sense not to throw the football. You throw to score and you run to win. It's been that way for a long time. It should always be that way. It will continue to be that way. But teams will start figuring out. It's like the Chiefs. There's now, you know, five games now on their offense. Andy Reid is great at scheming up things and getting guys open and everything else. Today was the first time where it didn't work the way he wanted it to work.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? It was a good defense. They didn't get any pressure on Mahomes, much pressure on Mahomes, because they started figuring it out. Teams figure everything out. This league figures out. The defensive coaches are good. They'll figure it out. Scoring will go down. It will not stay the same pace. It will not.
Do you see the resurgence of the fullback position like I'm seeing it?
Donate it down.
That's bullshit.
You like that?
You donated
down. No, it's not donated down. You set a tone when you set a tone when you give the ball to your fullback and he gets 2 yards.
Donated down.
It's donated down. Look, fullbacks. If I needed a blocking back, I'd bring like one of my linemen in. That's what I would do in my offense. Okay, Sluggo, you're going to lead through the hole. Other than that, I'm in one back all the time with three receivers. I don't need a fullback.
Are we going to see more of those like offset line positions like the Ravens did last week where they put their tight end like next to the center?
I love that.
I like that too.
And you know what? That was like rubbing somebody's face in. Remember they're the ones who complained about the Patriots a couple years ago with the formations.
Oh yeah.
And the league didn't like it. You know, it's deception it's within the rules, but you can still be deceptive. I liked it. I thought it was creative.
I like it too. All right, so you heard it here first.
Like
fullbacks are using a fullback creatively is coming back.
No, using a fullback is donating. Don't ever hand to him. I mean, he can lead the blocking or whatever. Don't hand off to him.
Okay. Mike Who Allstott
was your number one fullback, by the way?
John Lynch, or not John Lynch, John Kuhn was number one. Also, Mike Allstott was number two. Fun fact, did you know that Mike Allstott played on the same team as Lorenzo Neal for a season back in 1998?
Yeah, so he's not – come on, Rathman was better than both of them.
Bullshit. It's bullshit, Pete. You're showing your
Tom
age on
Rathman
that one.
Rathman was better than both of them.
No, Pete, you know the average age of our listeners is like 12 years old. They don't know who Rathman is.
Well, then they need to go do their homework then and look it up.
Yeah,
you
they're
going to
go do their homework on a fullback from 30 years ago.
Well, I mean, he did a whole thing on the fullback. Why shouldn't they do their homework on him?
Yeah.
They should just trust me because I'm the expert and you probably never even played fullback.
No, I was a guard.
Yeah. You know what? Say this about Pete.
5'5 guard.
Pete would never get hit in the head by one of his quarterback's passes. I don't care how short the guy was.
No, I was a dirty player.
I believe it. All right, Pete, thank you. Hopefully see you soon. You don't travel anymore, though, huh?
You're afraid of planes?
No, I'm in Fort Lauderdale all the time.
All right, we won't see you then ever again.
Yeah, it's too far south for me.
No, I'll see you in the playoff Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. We'll see you in the Super Bowl.
We actually might get down to Jacksonville.
I'll see you trying to sneak in everything at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's what we do. We're very sneaky.
I know, I love it.
But we'll see you at the Jaguars AFC Championship game in Jacksonville. I'm sure you'll make it up for that.
And then everybody, Blake Bortles could throw for 350 in the AFC Championship game and get him to the Super Bowl, and people would still pick him apart.
That's true. Yeah. It's very, very sad and unfair.
It is.
Thank you, Pete.
All right, guys.
That interview with Pete Prisco was brought to you guys by MeUndies. MeUndies is, I'm just going to say it, there's no scientific study that I've read on this yet, but they are the best pair of underwear to wear when you're wearing cargo jorts. Pete, I know you're listening to this, so you're dealing with some chafage, strap on a pair of MeUndies, you will be all set. You've heard me obsess over my MeUndies and all the amazing colors and prints they offer, but guys, did you know that MeUndies also makes the world's most comfortable lounge pants and tees? Well, with fall finally here, now is the perfect time to put these cozy essentials to the test. The lounge pants are made from the same micromodal fabric as their undies. Let me tell you, you'll be in fall heaven when you cover your entire bottom half with a fabric that is 3 times softer than cotton. MeUndies also loves celebrating the fall season with fun Halloween prints. Check out their latest jack-o'-lantern prints in undies, socks, and bralettes. The best part? When you join the membership, you can get all this stuff, the lounge pants, the tees, and the undies, every single thing MeUndies makes for less than anyone else. Special member... You okay, Big Cat?
I'm okay. I was just thinking about all my MeUndies, how much I love them, and I cough because, like, I can't believe I get such a great deal.
I get choked up, too. Special member pricing is just one of the many perks of joining the membership. And, guys, I've said it time and time again. I love these undies. They're the softest underwear I've ever put on, and they come with fun prints that I can match with socks or a bralette. 100% satisfaction guarantee. You're going to love them. And if you're not into them, MeUndies will do whatever they can to get you into the right pair. And if they can't, keep them and they'll refund you. So it really is risk-free to try the best underwear ever. They've got a great offer for my listeners. For any first-time purchasers, when you buy any pair of MeUndies, you will get 15% off and free shipping. It's a no-brainer. 15% off the most comfortable undies you will ever put on. To get your 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/take. That's MeUndies.com/take. They're the only underwear I wear anymore. And now, quick interview with UFC's John Anik.
Okay, we now welcome on John Anik. He was in the building calling the fight for UFC 229, one of the craziest nights in UFC history. We thought it'd be appropriate to talk to you, John. I guess let's just start with, like, how... Have you had the moment yet where you're just in disbelief, like, what the hell happened last night?
Yeah, I'm still processing it, and I think I'm still ingesting video, right? I think in the moment we didn't have everything there. You know, I'm turning and looking at Khabib Nurmagomedov in the crowd, and the next thing you know, Conor McGregor is in the fight after the fight. So it was just complete mayhem, and obviously not the capstone we were looking for the biggest fight in UFC history, but I just think when it comes to Khabib Nurmagomedov and some people culturally, there's certain things that you don't say and lines you don't cross. And I think for all of us, too, if you have children, right? I mean, like, people say things about my mother, you know, it's off my back. You say things about my kids, it's a totally different ballgame. And Conor's narrative before the fight and everything he was saying in the lead up to the fight obviously had an effect on Khabib, and I think he was going to retaliate verbally, if need be, physically. And obviously he jumped the fence, and it was just total chaos.
Okay, so explain this to me, because I got into a few debates last night. I was wired. Something about a big UFC fight keeps you up all night because you just are so wired and, like, energized from it. I'm sure you obviously know far better than I. But what I was the point I was trying to make, and you can tell me if I'm wildly wrong here, but there is pre-fight and there's post-fight. Pre-fight, I assume everything that is said is part of the promotion. You're trying to sell pay-per-views. Right. You're trying to get eyeballs. Khabib is not exactly the most charismatic guy. Conor McGregor is the charismatic guy who has to kind of carry the fight promotion. And then in the fight world, once the fight is over, whether you hate the guy, right, whether he said, you know, vile shit, Mike Tyson said some fucked up shit too, you shake hands, right, and you go the other way. Now, am I totally wrong in thinking that?
No, and I think I'm starting to believe increasingly that Conor McGregor, with every utterance, felt like it really was pre-fight stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like Conor has buried the hatchet with every single one of his opponents. And he's gone at guys before, even Brazilian Rafael dos Anjos, who he didn't fight. But Nate Diaz, obviously, they buried the hatchet and have huge amounts of respect for each other. But Khabib was pretty forthcoming in saying that there was going to be no handshake after the fight, obviously. And Dylan Danis is a guy who gets under people's skin, and Khabib, you know, the thing is, too, he stayed over Conor. Like, it seemed like Khabib was ready for the fight after the fight almost immediately.
That was over Conor. Yeah, that was actually the part where I tweeted, like, Khabib is a scumbag, which people were then like, well, what, Conor's not a scumbag? I think Conor obviously has done some things, too, that are reprehensible, and he should have, like, you know, he'd throw in the stuff at the bus and all that stuff. But I actually thought I thought Khabib going into the crowd was less of a black eye on fighting than him standing over Conor, almost wanting to fight him again and spitting on him. That to me was like, holy shit, dude, like, chill out. The guy is, you just tapped him out. He's beaten to a pulp. Like, win with some grace here.
And you know what? See, I'm still learning. Like, I didn't even know right now, as the guy who called the fight, that he had spit on him. And it's interesting too, because I have so much respect for Khabib Nurmagomedov, and he's established so much goodwill with all of us, that even an act like this, I can pardon, you know. And I do think, having had now, you know, 12 or 18 or however many hours to process it, I don't think it is this sport-altering thing, right? I mean, I do think there's going to be some residue in the fact that we don't have live events the next 2 weeks. I mean, there's no doubt there's going to be a ripple here. But I'm glad worse shit didn't happen, man, because I think for Dana White, and you know, say what you want about the call of the fight and what Dana said after the fight while he was still ingesting information. You know, I've never been more proud to work for a guy or that guy than I was last night, just the way he handled the press conference. I mean, this is just not at all where we wanted to be, and I think we'll move past it.
Does he have a gun to your head right now?
You know, still be able to fight in this country.
It's okay. Does Dana have a gun to your head right now? Is he making you say this?
He's right in my hotel room, you know?
So,
but the thing is, man, is like, we're all, everybody thinks we're Conor McGregor apologists, right? And I'm just calling it like I see it, you know. And if you really want to know, I have a closer personal relationship with Khabib because my broadcast partner Daniel Cormier is his teammate, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of different layers to this. And again, you know, before we do our podcast tomorrow, you can be sure I got to watch some more video and everything else. But you know, we'll see what happens. I hope Khabib gets his some of it, right? I mean, it was a $2 million purse, and as we're talking here, they're still withholding that. So, you know, I'm just hoping cooler heads prevail at some point, but there are ramifications that are going to be felt on all sides.
Yeah, so what is that process right now? They're just holding on to his money until he's cleared by the commission, or what does that look like?
Well, the police are, I guess, getting video and trying to see everything that happened. Obviously, when we were calling the fight, we didn't see that Conor McGregor had thrown a left hand at somebody who had climbed over the fence. And if he had landed that left hand, can you imagine if Conor McGregor had knocked out one of these guys cold who was coming into the octagon? I mean, this could have been a lot worse than it was. And maybe people think that's a crazy thesis statement after what we saw last mm-hmm. night. But yeah, there were just a lot of, you know, UFC featherweight Zubair Tuhugov, one of Khabib's teammates, he threw a punch at Conor. I believe I saw Conor throw a punch at him. So again, I mean, a lot was said last night, but I think in 24 hours, the picture will be a lot more clear.
So who was Khabib going to attack in the stands? Was there one guy that he picked out?
It's a pro MMA fighter, was a jiu-jitsu coach and longtime training partner of Conor McGregor, Dylan Danis. And it's a big part of, I think, what he does. And, Khabib went over there through the mouthpiece. He was just ready to go. And, you know, and even when Dana, I can't give you your belt because you're going to get pelted with beer bottles, Khabib says, I'm ready for this, right? Like, I'm fucking ready for this. I'm ready for the beer bottles. That's what I'd like to happen. Mm-hmm. Give me my belt and let me have a fight with whoever in the crowd wants one. And I think that's just an underlying theme. Guys are very proud and culturally strong in what they believe in. And I do have some respect for that, even though I'm disappointed that his intellect didn't prevail and he didn't handle the situation differently.
So the craziest part to me is what we just did on this podcast and talking to you is that the first 10 minutes is all about what happened, when it should have been that Khabib absolutely dismantled Conor McGregor. There was never in my mind a question once that fight started that he was going to win that fight. Even when Conor had a chance in the third, he had no pop in his punch because Khabib had kind of zapped all his energy. So The question to me is, there can't be a rematch, can there? Because I feel like a rematch, you have to have at least somewhat of an even fight, and I just can't see a world where Conor McGregor can beat that guy, because that guy is just one badass dude.
There's no doubt about it, and you know, there's some speculation that maybe McGregor didn't have the greatest training camp. I heard otherwise. I mean, he looked to be in tremendous shape. The weight cut went well. He looked very strong. The only time he didn't look great, at least from my vantage point, was on fight night. You know, when he was walking in with his wife and his son, he just didn't seem to have that same smile of confidence, you know, that just like John Jones smiling ear to ear when he's walking to the octagon. You know, that was a staple of Conor's walk, and that wasn't necessarily there. So, but yeah, I think that if they met 10 times, Khabib would have a great chance to win 8 or 9 of them. Conor didn't really get off at all. I mean, you can say he won parts of that third round, I guess, but yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting to see how long Khabib Nurmagomedov could be out. But, you know, Conor McGregor does have some culpability in all of this, I would think, as well. But Conor McGregor is such a transcendent guy, and in terms of pay-per-view numbers and everything else, he's on such a different level than anyone else we have that any fight in the game that he wants, he's probably going to get. And if that's a rematch with Khabib, I'd imagine we'll all pay and sit and watch it.
I've heard that the governor had a hard time getting out of the building last night. Is that what you heard, too?
I heard she was, you know, on foot quickly to try to get out of the building. But, yeah, that was obviously not what anybody was looking for. And that's really, I think, the big concern is the public safety element in all of this. And I just am thankful that we had so much security, guys, right? I mean, this was like Super Bowl-style security, and that's why it was all handled pretty well, and there didn't seem to be any major injury on any side.
Yeah, no, that's actually a good point, because when Khabib went into the crowd, there was like 25 security guards / cops. It was, you know, they outnumbered the civilians, so to speak, almost instantly. And I was like, holy shit, that's actually, you know, if that was a Barstool Rough and Rowdy, you know, Dave and I would have been killed. We would have been murdered right there. But, yeah,
well,
no, that was.
I'd be lying if I said I wasn't thinking about you guys at times and Rough and Rowdy and everything else. I mean, just to be in that scene, right, because you're so focused during this type of week. For me, far and away, the biggest sporting event I've ever called. And the last thing you expect. And maybe it was naive of me to not think something like this was going to materialize, but you just don't expect to all of a sudden have a brawl like that, and then you're rushed off the air without a fight recap. I mean, never in any pay-per-view or show have I experienced what I experienced last night.
Right. What do you think was the wilder aftermath from a fight last night? Was it the brawl, or was it when Derek Lewis talked to Joe Rogan about how hot his balls were?
Isn't that amazing? You know, I mean, can we get Derek Lewis on Pardon My Take? I mean, can we get that going, please?
You're our connection, so yes, please.
So please, you
set
get
that
on
up.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll make that happen. We got to get you guys in touch with the Black Beast. No, he is the best. And that's probably the greatest post-fight interview I've seen in UFC history, just maximizing that microphone. And he is who he is, man. You know, Houston, Texas is so behind that guy. I think he could sell out the arena where the Rockets play. And you know, it's crazy to think on paper he's won 9 of his last 10 and that he now might be in position to fight for the heavyweight title. You know, the cardio is going to be what it's going to be, but nobody wants to get hit by one of those lunchboxes. And, man, Volkov, though, I got to say, you know, all he had to do was get on a bicycle to win that fight. And, he just, what are you going to do?
That was the best part about that fight, because the Black Beast, he's almost unapologetic about being in terrible shape, where, like, after the first round, he barely can breathe, and it's like, well, I'm just here, I can't breathe, I'm not in great cardio, but if one of these hands lands, you're in trouble. And I love that strategy. Yeah. It's in fighting. It's like a heavyweight boxing match.
And I don't know how much heart you guys had in your athletic careers. I think PFT strikes me as a big heart guy. Like, I didn't have a lot of heart. Or I didn't have a lot of heart or mental toughness as an athlete. And one thing you can't – heart – and cardio are huge in MMA, and there's no denying Derek Lewis has the will to stay in these fights, and with a broken orbital likely last night, he was able to stay in it.
Yeah,
that was crazy. So you said that, like, Conor McGregor, whatever fight he wants, he fucking gets. But if he wants a rematch, do you think that there's a chance Khabib just says, no, fuck that, I don't want to fight you again, I'd rather retire?
Well, I will say there's not going to be an immediate rematch because of a lot of different factors. Who knows what's going to happen with Khabib, but Tony Ferguson is absolutely impossible to deny right now. 11 straight wins at 155 pounds. His next fight has to be for the undisputed UFC lightweight championship, and I can't say that any louder. So I do think, though, that at some point in time, a Conor-Khabib rematch is going to have some legs, but I don't think it'll be anytime soon. And for Conor, I mean, what do you want? You want George St. Pierre? You want to move up a division for a super fight? There are just so many different possibilities for him, and I just hope he stays on an active schedule, because it was really fun to have him back in whatever form.
Yeah, and that's a good point about Ferguson, because that was the other fight that got kind of overshadowed by everything. He was fantastic, and he looked in trouble a billion times, and he did the same thing where he was just like, all right, and now I'm going to win this fight. So my last question to you, though, is for Conor, and I think you brought up a good point, and I want to make it as well that I'm not a Conor McGregor apologist. I think people thought I was. I'm just a there's fight promo, and then after the fight, you walk away, and you know, everything kind of is like, well, what was said, but we were trying to sell pay-per-views, and they sold a lot of pay-per-views. Now, with that said, do you think in the future that Dana will have to rein Connor in a little so that it doesn't get to this personal level where guys are maybe taking it more than just fight promo and not understand? Like, even Khabib's apology, he said something like, this isn't a shit-talking game, this is a respect game. It's like, ah, dude, it kind of is a shit-talking game. Like, that's kind of part of boxing. Right. That's kind of part of MMA. Like, you need to sell fights. So do you think there will be any reining in of Connor, or do you think this is just, you know, an isolated incident that you got to deal with, and going forward you just keep racking in the money with Connor being electric?
It's a great question and talking point, because at this point in time, 5 years into Connor McGregor's career in the UFC, the extent to which he's established himself, it just doesn't feel like the time to rein him in. And I just don't know that you're going to be able to rein him in. I think that he didn't like what happened last night either, and I think he's sort of sick of having to go through all of this legal stuff. And if anything comes his way out of this, you know, I don't think that's going to be pleasant for him. But I just don't know how you rein him in. And the thing, too, is that he's not scripted necessarily. He's just well-researched, right? He gets on a podium and he has all this information in his head, and he just delivers it in a way that just is cutting and conniving and everything else. So I just think it's something that is so, so special about him, and to take it away, I just don't know. I know a lot of pro mixed martial artists feel like that absolutely has to happen, and I just think it's pretty ambitious to think that that's going to be the path.
All right, my last question. You were in Vegas the whole weekend. Which group of supporters were you most intimidated by, the Irish or the Russians?
Definitely the Russians, right? Khabib's army is strong, no doubt about it. I was surprised that they couldn't really be heard from in the arena, but you do not want to be anywhere near those guys for sure. I mean, the Irish men and women are very friendly, and I think, you know, they recognize us more certainly than the Russians do. So, no, you steer clear of those Russians, but I do have a lot of respect for how they all stick together, and they don't care if they go to jail. They don't think about ramifications. They think about revenge and retaliation if there's something serious enough. And that's just going to be what it's going to be. So crazy night, man. And I appreciate the chance to chop it up with you about it.
Yeah. Follow up. Do you think that you're going to see more kids wrestling bears in preparation for an MMA career?
I mean, who's going to be the next kid to wrestle a bear? Somebody's got to be the next to do it on video. I mean, I'm surprised somebody hasn't tried to repeat the feat yet.
Right. I wouldn't be shocked if, like, Brock Lesnar had a whole, like, farm of bears at his Montana ranch or whatever that he just trains on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely incredible.
All right, John, thank you so much. Can you tell everyone where they can listen to your recap tomorrow? You got a for your podcast?
Well, I appreciate that. It's the Anakin Florian podcast, and I am going to text you the Black Beast number, and I expect
yes.
to hear him on Pardon My Take within 15 days.
Love That's it. Awesome. Yeah, we'll Thank you, John. Everyone listen to it, because I'm sure you're going to go into depth and talk about what a wild – I mean, I could talk about this Saturday night, UFC 229 forever. So everyone who's listening to this right now, finish the episode, then go download and subscribe to John Anik's podcast.
Thank you, guys.
John Anik was brought to you guys by ZipRecruiter. There are a lot of job sites out there that send you tons of the wrong resumes to sort through, and that's not smart. There are job sites that make you wait for the right candidates to apply to your job. That's not smart. You know what else is not smart? Using your relatives to fill in at work while you look for staff. You know what's not smart? Making the lottery the centerpiece of your retirement plan. You know what else is not smart? Letting your friends pick your karaoke song. But you know what is smart? Going to ZipRecruiter.com/PMT to hire the right person. ZipRecruiter does not depend on candidates finding you, because it finds them for you. Its powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and actively invites them to apply, so you get qualified candidates fast. And that's why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the United States. That rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's for free at this exclusive web address. It's ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. That's ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. ZipRecruiter, it's the smartest way to hire.
Okay, let's get to some segments. First up, we have a take quake. And, oh boy, This is the only time. The only time that I truly, like, you know, when we get stuck in between episodes and you're like, fuck, I really wish we could talk about this. This is one of those times.
Yeah, on Saturday.
On Saturday.
Nail down the dog because this is a hot one.
Peter Gammons with an all-time take quake. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, here's what he said. In the eighth inning of what may be a do-or-die game with the tension of a Game 7, Neanderthal Fenway Park fans chanting Yankees suck are eerily like those who chant lock her up at political rally designed to demean female assault victims' trauma.
Okay. Well,
end tweet.
Well, let's set the stage here a little bit, give some color to it. He didn't actually say suck. He bleeped out.
Correct.
It was S star.
No, not even an S.
What was it?
It was a parentheses with a dash, a dash, a dash, and a dash.
Okay. But it was Yankees suck was the word he was going after.
We can only assume.
We might have to bleep that out.
We don't know. He also, before we get into the take quick, 166 retweets. Guess how many replies?
2,000.
3,600 replies.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is the greatest ratio of all time.
That's pretty bad.
I don't really know where to start. Yankees suck has been going on forever.
Mm-hmm.
And, I guess Peter Gammon's point here is there's tribalism in sports.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
Have you ever been on Twitter, dude? Have you ever said anything bad about anyone's team? Do you see what happens? Like, people go down your throat. That's why we root for our teams. That's why we get passionate. That's why we go crazy.
Yeah.
But then to tie in lock her up chants and feminism, I'm just lost. I'm tapping out, PFD. I'm tagging you in.
Okay, so the connections that were made in Peter's brain were he heard Yankees suck, and he heard a lot of people screaming it, and he was like, the syllables line up to the lock her up chant, and it kind of rhymes.
Yes.
So I'm going to jump there. And then I'm going to jump from there to – that's where he kind of loses me, is like going from lock her up to demeaning sexual assault victims. I'm trying to put it together in my head.
Tapping Hank.
Hank,
go.
I mean, it is the same beat. Like, it sounds the same. You hear it, you're like, all right.
Yeah.
Where have I heard this song before?
No, you're right. It's like Peter Gammons listened to Under Pressure, and he's like – This song reminds me of Queen and David Bowie.
Wow. Yeah. That's okay. Yeah, it has got the same.
And the people that yell lock her up are generally the same people that
root for sports?
Yeah.
I don't know about that. That's...
No, I think Hank was saying are generally the people that, like, at least in the news this week have been like on Kavanaugh side and that whole thing.
Okay.
So I think that's where Peter's mind was going, but what did we say was hot in the streets last week? That ain't it, Chief.
That ain't it, Chief. That was my stardom for fuck boys.
He's just
got me a lot of points.
He was just like doing a grab. He was playing hashtag hyphy.
Yeah.
He's like, let me just grab. Okay, so the ALDS going. Okay, this Yankees Red Sox. Okay, and what's going on over here? Okay, feminism and lock her up. Okay, that's cool. And then we'll just throw this here, and then maybe a swear word that's not that you guys can figure out yourself. And boom. Tweet gets made.
A weird case of Mad Libs.
This is why I love this tweet. Peter Gammons is the perfect person to tweet this because if anyone else tweets it, they then either delete it or they fight back. He did the old, when you get to a certain age, you just do the tweet and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
He did a full-on tweet and walk away. I don't even know if he knows how to look at his mentions.
No, he might as well have just like tweeted out and then dropped his phone into a trash can.
Right, he has no idea what happened after that, and I love that because that means we can get a follow-up.
Yeah, you know what I don't like? I don't like how in Yankee Stadium they boo. Have you heard that?
Yep.
They say boo.
Boo.
It's disrespectful to people like Ron Artest who have been sexually assaulted by ghosts.
Boo. And also Bobby Brown.
Yeah, also Bobby Brown.
Got fucked by a ghost.
Yeah.
People forget that. That's actually happened. I think the ghost made him come, though. So.
Well, good. Yeah. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I guess that's...
It's better than like 90% of dudes.
Yeah. Ghost sex is a real thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely a real thing.
It absolutely is.
All right, so Peter Gammons, that's a take quick.
Peter has had... tweets that he's like butt dialed that have made more sense than this.
Yes, absolutely. He does that on the regular.
Yeah, a lot of butt dialed tweets.
Okay, next up we have Embrace Debate. Is Darren Revelle an athlete? I'll set the stage.
Are you serious?
Revelle ran the Chicago Marathon. I don't know if anyone heard. He only tweeted about it and talked about it nonstop for the last like 5 months. He ran it in 4:25, which it's good, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, Darren,
did he win?
If you're going to do it,
he did not win.
If you're going to do it for
the, win the marathon,
if you're going to do it for the engagement, at least shave your time down to 4 hours and 20 seconds exactly.
Yeah, he looked like a bum running the marathon. He had like clothes just draped in weird places. He had a headband. He had like these knee legging things.
I've never seen a man with skinnier legs than Darren Revell.
And then he put up an Instagram story or Instagram picture where he
looked like he had two prosthetic legs.
Yeah, he did. He looked like, yeah. So you know what? Actually, he might be an athlete because he did. He ran with two prosthetic legs. He invoked Roger Bannister, the first man to ever run a 4-minute mile, in his Instagram acceptance speech for winning the Darren Revell Marathon Challenge.
For winning the I Did It.
Yeah. I actually think he's an athlete now.
Okay.
I'll say it. Because did you see his iPhone? That thing was huge on his arm. He ran with a huge iPhone on his arm and he was Instagram storing the whole time. So credit to him.
Yeah. I don't know.
He also got really salty at me on Twitter for saying that he got beat by someone else.
Well, he did.
Well, he got beat by a lot of people. Like 15,000.
Listen, and Darren's going to come back and say, well, open challenge to you if you ever want to
run a marathon. Oh, I'm going to run that mile.
And you know what? I don't think I'll ever reach a point in my life where running a marathon is like a goal that I want to have.
No, absolutely
it's like, hey,
not.
Hey, do you want to go be bored for 5 hours?
Listen. If
athletes compete.
Yeah.
Listen, I do a marathon every single Sunday, okay? Yeah. I sit on my couch and I watch 7 hours of football and my cable box pops up with that little notification that says, are you still alive?
Yeah, do you want to
keep watching football?
And my Fitbit beeps and is like, hey, you've had 10 steps in the last hour. You're only 280,000 away from your goal.
Right. Do you want me to notify the ambulance?
Yes.
Are you okay?
Yeah. That is always depressing when the Fitbit does that.
Yes, it happens a lot.
Yeah. It's just like you got seven steps.
Yeah, I'm an athlete too, dude. I watch a lot more football than you.
Listen, I agree with you. I don't think I'll ever be – people are going to laugh at me because I'm like, I'm not running a marathon by choice. It is by choice. Like, I don't want to run a marathon. Mm-hmm. I could,
And that's okay.
It's okay. I will beat him in a mile, though. He said anywhere, anytime. So I'm just going to let my back heal up next, like, 4 or 5 months, get my core strong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to show up at his house and just be like, let's go.
Shout out recurring guest Desi Linden. Tell me if Darren's time, if I should be impressed by it or not.
Yeah, she could run 2 marathons before Darren finished.
Yeah, probably way more than that.
We have a what's the beef? Hank, what's the beef?
Marcus Smart and J.R. Smith almost got in a fist
fight. They got beef?
In the last preseason game of the year.
So what the hell happened? Because
that would be such a funny fight.
Oh, it was. They were ready to go.
Marcus Smart was ready to go. I don't think J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith and Aaron Baines got tangled up, which is just like classic going for rebound. They got tangled up. And then Marcus Smart literally just came running in full speed, like fists ready to go. Had to have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown holding him back, like fully holding him back. Like not like, hold me back, hold me back, hold me back. Like Marcus Smart was trying to break through, trying to throw punches at J.R. Smith.
Two questions. One is, Jason Tatum still 19?
Yes.
How much longer?
Is he an old 19?
I don't know.
He's an old 19.
Wow. At least 6 months.
Mbappe is still 19 as well. I don't know if you guys
knew
that.
He scored
4 goals, 13 minutes. Mbappe.
Mbappe.
Still 19.
Oh, breaking news. Yeah. Jason Garrett's spin zone of why he decided to punt the ball as opposed to go for it in 4th and 1. You ready for this? It was a long yard.
It was.
So it was
true.
Almost 4th and 2.
Yeah, that's true.
Other breaking news, Jason Tatum is 20.
Oh.
Not that impressive then.
Fuck. That ruins everything.
Get this geriatric fuck out of my face.
I think this is in trouble now. My second question is, does Marcus Smart know that LeBron James isn't on the Cavs anymore?
I think that probably plays a part in, like, he's trying to take out all his anger.
Right, but, like, the Cavs are irrelevant. Except for Sam Decker, who's going to have an awesome year and probably be an all-star. The Cavs are irrelevant.
That doesn't matter for Marcus Smart.
Okay.
I would just
okay.
Marcus Smart never forgets.
Yeah. He's like an elephant. Never forgets.
Yeah. That's just beef.
Yeah. But it's kind of a pussy.
Don't say the P word.
Oh. I would love to see his Marcus Smart's face. All right.
I'm not going to say to his face. Well.
He was voted second toughest player in the entire league.
Let me ask you guys, instead of making a declarative statement that, writing a check my ass can't cash, I'm going to ask you guys a question. You can answer it, okay? Would you say that it's kind of a coward move to fight the team that you had a rivalry with after the alpha moves on?
No, I think that doesn't even occur to Marcus Smart.
No,
but the alpha's gone.
But Marcus Smart wasn't defending LeBron.
The big dude's gone.
Marcus Smart was not defending LeBron. He was always like, "That's a they were matched
up
together." So
it was still
that beef remains.
Would he do that if LeBron was still there?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's the only question I'm asking. Actually, ask me a question.
Big guy wasn't a fan of Khabib fighting. No,
I'm asking
Marcus
a question.
Smart
no, I said I was a fan of Khabib fighting. I said he wasn't a fan of him spitting on him. You're
this,
not listening.
This actually matches up perfectly to that fight. Like, in this circumstance, Khabib is Marcus Smart and Conor McGregor's J.R. Smith.
But do you see the point I'm asking? Don't you think it's a little fair to ask? No, daddy's gone.
No, because Marcus Smart is such a psycho that that doesn't even register to
okay,
him. He sees a color. He sees that, like, burgundy or maroon or whatever the fuck the Cavs call their primary color. And he sees that, and he's like, that is a color that is violence for me.
I just don't know if you fight a team when LeBron's on the other side. I don't know. I just asked a question. I didn't make a declarative statement. I asked a question. You don't have to get upset. I asked a question.
All
right. We all know, like, Marcus Smart, you love him. He's going to shoot, like, 2 for 20 for threes.
But that's fine.
He'll fight someone.
He will. He'll fight everybody. That would be such a funny fight.
I do. I mean, he is all energy. He's a guy you'd love to have on your team, for sure.
I could see J.R. Smith getting into a fight on, like, a hoverboard, like, trying to drive by, punch somebody on, like, one of those little, like, motorized skateboards.
Yeah. And then end up
hurting himself and Marcus Smart retaliating by murdering J.R. Smith's entire family.
Yeah. Tit for tit.
Yeah.
Totally.
Now we're even.
All right. Last up, we have King State Kings. This is for Ryan Lochte. So Ryan Lochte was involved in a car accident in Gainesville, Florida, the same day that he was involved in a police had to show up to a hotel because he was drunkenly trying to kick the door down of
allegedly.
A hotel room. Allegedly. The only problem is the hotel thing happened in California and the car accident happened in Gainesville, Florida, all in the same day.
Get you a man that can do both.
King State Kings, that is so fucking impressive.
Yeah, so Ryan Lochte in the past, like, 3 years has been in hot water in Brazil, California, and Florida. So, like, basically anywhere where you can wear a swimsuit as your actual outfit.
Yes.
Ryan Lochte is no longer allowed.
Think about how crazy that is, though, because you get the cops called on you at 3:45 in the morning in California.
And wait, then, I'm doing time zone math. So that's
3:45 a.m.
Okay, so that's 7:45 East Coast time.
6:45
East Coast time.
But then, like, if you get the cops called on you, usually people are like, you know, I'm going to chill out for a minute. He then got on a flight, went to Gainesville, got in a car crash.
Mm-hmm.
Was
he driving the car?
I think he was driving the car, yes. Lochte was driving his Porsche to his home when he realized he was about to hit the car in front of him and slammed on his brake at the last minute to no avail.
He was 1,000,000% watching, like, a Snapchat show.
Yeah, for sure. He's or trying to figure out where Vine went.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Why isn't my Vine loading? All right. That's our show. Jay Glazer, Wednesday, in person. Should we say it?
Yeah, let's
do it. We just said it. Let's do it. Jay Glazer, in person, Wednesday. Get excited. Bitch. We'll see everyone then.
Love you guys.
Pardon My Take, presented by Bar Stool Sports.